Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here. It's such a temptation on a great, beautiful, sunny Sunday morning to go out and enjoy the outdoors, hiking or boating or golfing or hiking or golfing or boating, all kinds of wonderful things. But I'm glad you're here today. Does anybody know what a concordance is? You all know, but just to state the obvious, it's a record of every word in the Bible, right? So it's a big index. Nowadays, they're online and they're super easy to use. Let's say you're interested in today's first reading about Moses and the burning bush. So you go to a concordance site, type in the word Moses, and you get all the passages in which he's found. It's a great tool. Let's say you're interested in love. Who isn't? Love is mentioned 731 times in the Bible. That's a lot, 700 and change. And that's great. That's how it should be. Because that's what we are all about. That's what God is all about. Better said, love is what God is. But when we talk about love, we often fail to talk about something else. It is the elephant in the room. Do you know what that is? Not love, but thank you, thank you. We think of hate as being the opposite of love, but some say that's incorrect. Some say the opposite of love is apathy. Apathy being the absence of love or the negation of love. I'll leave that debate with you in your dinner conversations this week. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room. The 20th century Christian mystic Thomas Merton has a chapter in his book, New Seeds of Contemplation, called Hell as Hatred. In that chapter, he says, hell is where no one has anything in common with anybody else except the fact that they all hate one another and cannot get away from one another and from themselves. Thank you, Tommy Merton. I am grateful that a spiritual giant of his stature admits that we humans hate. It is part of the human condition, and if it is, it's part of us, the good and holy people who faithfully come to worship every Sunday or most Sundays. But notice, Merton is suggesting that when we hate, the real object of our hatred is ourselves. Yeah, it's a tough nut to swallow. Because hating seems so objectified, an object out there. I hate something or someone who is not me. It's an object. But Merton is trying to say, I've got it wrong. He continues his story of hell. They are all thrown together in their fire, and each one tries to thrust the others away with a huge hatred. The reason they want to be free of one another is not so much that they hate what they see in others, as that they know others hate what can be seen in them. All recognize in one another what they detest in themselves, selfishness and impotence, agony, terror, despair. All recognize in one another what they detest in themselves. All hate one another because of what they hate in themselves. The real object of our hating is ourselves. That's why Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you hate your neighbor, there must be some self-loathing going on inside of you and spilling out to those around you. And that's why we say in our mission statement here at Nativity that we inspire love of God, creation, self, and others. There is no love of others before love of self. And that's love of self. That's not big ego, pride, or vanity. Love of self is self-acceptance. Before I read this book of Merton's, again, it's called New Seeds of Contemplation, I had never seen any Christian author address the subject of hate. And I've read a couple of books. It is the elephant in the room, even for Christian authors. And yet, the Bible in its wisdom acknowledges hatred as a human capacity. I had said there's 700 references to love in the Bible. There's about 200 to hate. One of those references is in today's reading from Romans. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Hate what is evil. It's like, okay, it's okay to hate. This passage puts hating in a positive light, as if to harness a negative human reality, something from our dark side, our shadow side, and put it to good use. It is the way Proverbs imagines that God might hate. There's a small chunk of the sixth chapter of Proverbs that says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that hurry to run to evil, a lying witness who testifies falsely, and one who sows discord in a family. These are said to be the things that God hates. I guess you could call these things righteous hatred, right? Sort of like righteous indignation or holy anger, the kind of anger we saw in Jesus when he became violent towards the money changers in the temple. Righteous hatred. Great. That probably makes up a very small component of most hating in the world. What about unrighteous hatred? Right? We don't think we hate. We just don't. It's just such a nasty word. It's so dark and violent. We minimize and even sanitize our feelings. This is denial. Maybe we'll allow that we dislike someone or we disapprove of some group. If we're a little bit more honest, we may say that we flat out just don't get along with someone, probably because our personalities are different. And this may be true. And it is praiseworthy when we speak and think well of those we dislike or disagree with or disdain. It is more than praiseworthy. It is spiritually mature and a model of emotional restraint. Good for you. But just be sure you're not sanitizing your own image of yourself just because you know it's wrong to hate. Drill down. Okay, what's beneath that discord, that disliking? What's there? Maybe, okay, it's not full-blown hatred, But be honest with yourself. And when you are, you find that this can be incredibly humbling and cleansing. We want to love. We want to nurture loving attitudes, but love should not come at the cost of self-deception. Because once we become practiced in self-deception, we lose our mooring. To deceive oneself is to keep secrets from oneself. These secrets build the false self, that phony, inauthentic projection of who I am. The bigger the gap between who I project myself to be and who I really am, the greater the potential for my unhappiness in life and neurosis. Alcoholics Anonymous has a saying, "You are only as sick as your secrets." That's why their first step to sanity is to admit, accept, quit pretending you don't have a drinking problem. We need to stop pretending we are innocent lambs when it comes to hating. There's a remarkable little help for this. Right here in this verse in Romans, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. The helpful hint comes in the form of opposition. And opposition is something we know very well. Opposition is a biological reality. When you inhale, the very next thing you do is exhale. You can't do them at the same time. But you can do both of them. And you can't do one without the other. They are in opposition. Inhale, exhale. When I open my arm, I extend my bicep. When I close it, I contract it. Extend, contract. Inhale, exhale. These are opposites. Opposition is also an emotional dynamic. It operates in our psyches. When I love, I cannot hate at the same time. Opposition. So when the text says, hold fast to what is good, it is set in opposition to hate, hate what is evil. So the little hint about how to deal with hatred is the opposite of holding on to. Let go. Let go of what you hate. It makes perfect sense. Let go. Let go of what bothers you, annoys you, of what and whom you hate. Of course, in order to do this, you have to first admit that there is something or someone you hate that starts to peel away the self-deception and leads to self-acceptance or self-love. Self-acceptance is letting go of all those things you despise about yourself. We all have them. Your bad habits, your failures, your inability to do what you really want to do, your shortcomings, your inadequacies. Self-acceptance is letting go of those things. Let go of hatred. Hold fast to what is good. If you want to accept yourself and then love others and love God, it's a progression. If you want these things, let go of your self-criticism. There are other hobbies. This letting go is hard work, just like dieting. I was a skinny kid, so much so that every day when I came home from school, my mother fed me chocolate milkshakes and potato chips. She was desperate to get weight on me. Not anymore. the last number of years, I have learned that dieting just doesn't happen on its own. Darn it! I have to think about it. I have to focus on it. Dieting takes energy and math. You got to count calories. Dieting doesn't happen on its own. It's a great analogy to the spiritual life. The spiritual life, the life of faith, takes attention. It takes effort. I don't think it takes math. God be praised. But the efforts, the lifelong consistency of it, collects inside of you. The benefits of self-acceptance, self-honesty, honest love for others, for God, puddle up inside of you and spill out genuinely into the world. Thomas Merton says it best when he says, quote, "If you love peace, hate injustice, hate tyranny, hate greed, but hate these things in yourself, not in another," end of quote. Let go of those things. Don't deny that they don't exist, but don't nurture them either. Two dogs are fighting in your backyard, a black one and a white one. They're always there. They will always be fighting. Which one wins? The one you feed.